And about an hour ago now, President Trump made it official. He's pulling the U.S. out of the Iran nuclear deal. The 2015 agreement negotiated by the Obama administration lifted economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for dismantling and inspecting its nuclear weapons program. The president said today all sanctions would be reimposed on Iran.
We will be instituting the highest level of economic sanction. Any nation that helps Iran in its quest for nuclear weapons could also be strongly sanctioned by the United States. America will not be held hostage to nuclear blackmail.
Barbara Slavin is director of the Future of Iran Initiative at the Atlantic Council. She joins us from Washington. Barbara, your first reaction.
Well, what can I say? It's what we had, most of us had anticipated. Some thought there might be a little bit of wiggle room that he would call for more negotiations with the Europeans, but he has now shot through the eyes what was essentially a zombie agreement for the last 15 months. I mean, we've known that President Trump wanted to withdraw from this deal from the very beginning, and he has now done it completely and decisively. But what he has not done is explained exactly what is going to be put in its place and how he intends to constrain Iran's quote-unquote nuclear ambitions.
Well, this seems to be the biggest criticism, that if the concern of many who backed Donald Trump's thinking about the deal was that built into the deal was that some of the requirements about the nuclear program would go away in 10 or so, 15 or so years, why make them possibly all go away now? Are you concerned that Iran might react by building up its nuclear capabilities, or do you think Iran and the remaining signatories to the deal, Germany, France, China, Russia, Britain, do you think that they can go it alone?
Well, that is the ultimate question. I think the Europeans are certainly going to try to convince the Iranians to stay in the deal. The Russians and the Chinese will do the same. But the question is, are all these other parties willing to defy the United States and defy American sanctions in order to do so? I think Russia and China clearly will, perhaps Turkey will. I don't know about the Europeans. You know, the European governments may protest, but will their companies really be willing to risk their business in the United States in order to do business with Iran? Mm-hmm. I have my doubts. So I think this is a devastating blow. I think Trump has absolutely killed this agreement. And as I mentioned before, there is nothing to put in its place, and he is not capable of negotiating anything to put in his place. He talked about negotiating with American allies about a replacement. He has to talk to the Iranian government. And the only language he's used with the Iranian government is one of insult and threat. So I think this is a very, very sad day for American foreign policy and a very sad day for American leadership in the world.
Well, what does happen now? Because there was some speculation, there was a lot of speculation as to how this might go. For instance, you talk about what other countries might do. The president might say, we're going to impose sanctions again on American companies like Boeing. They can no longer sell planes. But does that also mean that France, the Airbus, can't sell planes to Iran if the U.S. imposes a sanction?
Yes, well, Airbus planes have more than 10% U.S. content. I believe they have General Electric engines, so Airbus will not be able to sell planes. Boeing has already put off delivery of planes in anticipation of this decision. When I say this was a zombie agreement, President Trump has put so much uncertainty over it since he came into office that many companies, major companies that had planned on doing business with Iran, have already withdrawn. So Iran now will collect itself. It will find other ways to try to sell its oil. It will find other ways to try to survive. But it's a very proud country. Whatever you may think about its policies in the Middle East or the way it treats its own people, it's going to be very difficult for me to envision Iran sitting down with this administration or indeed a future American administration. After all, it's the United States which has cheated on this agreement, not Iran.
Well, and of course, the president cited information that was delivered in that sort of PowerPoint presentation from Prime Minister Netanyahu as proof that it was Iran that had cheated. But every analyst said that Netanyahu had nothing but some things that had happened before 2003. And no, the overwhelming thinking of analysts and inspectors is that Iran had stuck with the deal.
Absolutely. What Netanyahu did was present a, warmed over old news. This was information that related to Iran's past nuclear activities. Yes, Iran had a nuclear weapons program in the past, but it never built any nuclear weapons. And this agreement, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, provided insurance that Iran could not build nuclear weapons for a decade or more. Now that insurance is gone.
Yeah, look, we've spoken to other voices. Reuel Marc Gerecht is one, somebody who's long been critical of the deal. He says that it doesn't address Iran's use of its missile capability or its backing of terrorist groups, Hamas, Hezbollah, in his view, in the region. Is there anything here that tells you that those things can now be addressed?
No, really. The idea was that the nuclear deal would be the foundation for discussions with Iran on other issues. Instead, what the Trump administration has done is, as I mentioned, cast uncertainty over this agreement. It has squandered its opportunity to use the channels established by the agreement to talk to Iran about these other issues. There is no reason that Iran is now going to come to the table to talk about these issues with the United States. And I think we may see Iranian influence in the region simply grow bigger. Than it already is.
Barbara Slavin of the Atlantic Council, thank you.
You're welcome.